Hello, this is Rob Randall, and we're so grateful today that you've tuned in. Thank you for your time, and we want you to know we've been praying for you. We've been praying that God would take His Word and apply it to all of our hearts who would receive it. Ask the Lord to speak clearly to you concerning any obstacle in your life that is keeping you from Him. Let me ask you simply to ask the Lord to be your teacher and your guide. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust you to do what we cannot do for ourselves. And we ask you, Lord, that you would heal the brokenhearted today, that you would bring recovering of sight to the blind. Lord, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you would be God in our lives today. So help us walk in the freedom that you bought for us at Calvary. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now let's open our Bibles. You may want to take notes. Let's get right to today's study of the invisible war.
What does the Word of God say? But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever is not of faith is sin. That's what the Bible says. My, my, my. Satan uses these worldly philosophies to keep us from the freedom in Christ that God has given to us through the finished work of Christ on Calvary. You can see it yourself. The man is deceived if he is a hearer and not a doer of the Word of God. James 1:22. He is deceived if he says he has no sin. 1 John 1:8. He is deceived when he thinks himself to be something when he is nothing. Galatians 6:3. He is deceived when he thinks himself to be wise with the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians 3:18. He is deceived by seeming to be religious when an unbridled tongue reveals his true condition. James 1:26. He is deceived if he thinks he will sow and not reap what he sows. Galatians 6:7. Oh, that young people could hear this. Certain as you put your hand on a hot stove, you will get burned. If you continue in sin, it will destroy you. He is deceived if he thinks the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9. And he is deceived if he thinks that contact with sin will not have its effect upon him. 1 Corinthians 15:33. We speak to our son every Sunday. One of the most profound things that Bobby has learned through his journey. He said, Daddy, I just didn't understand how serious sin was. That's profound. Because behind our disobedience is a whole force of darkness that is more cunning and wicked and powerful than any and all of us put together to drive us into the darkness, to lure us, to push us into the darkness. Satan's main weapon is deception. I want to talk about legalism for just a moment. Obeying Christ is not legalism. Setting up man's rules is not Christianity. I want you to hear this and hear it loudly. Our kids, particularly in Christian schools, can come through the program confused. Because there's so many rules that must be abided by in terms of the clothes they wear, in terms of what they speak and how they speak it, all of these man-made rules. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to wear a uniform to go to school. That's a man-made rule. Okay? And what happens is these children of ours are children. They're not adults. They can't sort through this. They're kids. And therefore, they are easily deceived. And so, they get to the place where they graduate and say, well, if that's Christianity, I don't want it, and we never see them again. That's called legalism. Sin is not an issue of breaking man's rules. Sin is breaking God's laws. Now, I'm not a proponent of antinomianism. That means anything goes. You can do anything you want, and it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. But we need to distinguish for our children clearly the difference between man's rules and God's rules. I have a passage of Scripture, Galatians 2. There's a danger in living by the law. It's a message that I preach all over the country. Galatians 2:16 through 3:28. The first thing I want you to see, and by the way, People were being saved. Paul had won a bunch of them to Christ in the church at Galatians. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes in after Paul and steers them away from faith through grace alone. Faith alone. Sola fide. Faith in Christ alone. That there were certain works you had to do. There were certain religious works. And he was so ticked off that if you want to see a preacher mad, read the first chapter of Galatians. He's angry. He says, "Who bewitched you?" He even calls them, "You've been involved in witchcraft. Who bewitched you, you foolish Galatians? Who in the world drug you away from the truth?" All right? And so that's the context you find this. Number one, living by the law frustrates the grace of God. 2:21, the purposes of God. What's the purpose of God? Salvation. Okay? All are under the course. Chapter 3, verse 10, all. Listen, if we can be saved on our merit, Jesus didn't have to die. It was all a fake. There was no need for it. If we could do it on our own, that's what Paul is saying. Suffering, what's the purpose of suffering? To make us like Jesus. There's an eternal purpose for suffering in our lives. Now, I know this flies in the face of radio and TV preachers today. But there is a design, a godly design in our suffering. So chapter 3, verse 4, he says, "Have you suffered all these things in vain?" The purpose is to make you like Christ. Living by the law falsifies the promises of God. Chapter 3. Promises of the Spirit of God. Verse 14. The promise of the inheritance of God. Verse 18. And verse 22. It makes the Scriptures a lie. Because all are sinners. Folks, nobody's better than anybody else. Nobody. Nobody in this room is better. If I got what I deserved, I would already be in hell. With no escape. It is of Christ or it is of none of Him. That's what Paul is saying here. Living by the law falsifies the promises of God. And living by the law fragments the people of God. That's in verse 28, chapter 3. It creates a class of super Christians who look down their nose at us. You don't have a right to run with my children. Your kids don't have a right to run with them. Our kids are better than your kids. Oh, really? The division of the devil. All of the names given to Satan in Scripture, the most used is Diabolos, as we have already seen. We've talked about it. Let me simply say, he is about dividing churches, about dividing families, about dividing marriages. He is Diabolos. I want to talk to you about bitterness. Bitterness is one of the great tools of Satan to control our lives. Like a slow-growing cancerous tumor, ignoring it will not save us from its ultimate destruction. Be certain if you allow bitterness to remain at any time in your life, Satan will use it to his benefit to rob you of your joy, faith, and ultimately, your life. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, we find an amazing passage. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, for you will give the devil a place. The word here is topos. We get the word typography, our ground to work in our lives. And by the way, this is written to the church. Church, believer, you can open up a door through bitterness where Satan will come in and build ground in your life to destroy your witness and ultimately your life for Christ. Bitterness in its root form is rebellion against God. Let me say a few things about bitterness and get a hold of this. You see, it is saying God can't handle this. That person hurt me and I got to hurt them back. And so what you're doing is you're rebelling against the Word of God that says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. He is the judge, not you, not me. Matthew 7, verse 1, if you judge, you will be judged by the same measure. By the same measure. Let me put it to you in real terms. When you send forth your judgments upon people, it comes back upon your head as a curse. It is a dangerous thing to do spiritually. Not only is bitterness dangerous, but it also makes you a heretic in the church. What? I'm a conservative. How can I be a heretic? It's real simple. Jesus' blood is enough blood for all sin. I was in a meeting in Fort Smith, Arkansas. A lady came forward for prayer, and I had dealt with a man about some generational stuff and came back into the sanctuary, and this woman was screaming, literally, at the top of her voice. She was screaming at the pastor. And I turned to her and I said, "Do you need to talk to me?" "I sure do." And he was so relieved that I was willing to tag team with him there for a moment. And so, sure enough, I said, "What's going on?" He says, "The woman that destroyed my marriage, the woman that had an affair with my husband, was at church tonight." And I want to tell you, if she'd have had a gun, there'd have been blood on those walls. And I'm not exaggerating. She was full of venom, full of anger, full of bitterness. And the enemy had taken charge. I sat down with her and I said, "You can't even pray, can you?" She said, "How do you know?" "You didn't know that." I said, "Yeah, I did." Bitterness will stop your prayer life. Stop it dead. God will not hear if you remain bitter. Folks, we've all been hurt. Not a one of us here that hasn't been hurt. You think you're the only one? Some of you have been hurt deeply and those wounds remain even from childhood. I understand now that we're dealing with folks how deep those wounds can be. But Jesus is so wonderfully faithful to heal that if we'll let Him. The problem is we don't let Him. I looked at her. I said, "You're a heretic, aren't you?" She stopped. Stopped dead in her tracks. She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You believe more blood needs to be shed than Jesus' blood. His blood isn't enough for this sin. You want her blood, don't you? You're a heretic. Jesus' blood is enough for all sin." Bitterness makes God accountable to me. "I don't like what you're doing here, and you didn't get my approval. And I don't appreciate it." That's rebellion, folks. It's dangerous. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, for you will give the devil a place, a topos, to work in our lives. And of course, the Word of God speaks so clearly. Isaiah 53:4-5. "Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising of our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed." Give it to Him. Turn it over to Him. Let Him have it. Let me share with you how the enemy has used that in my own life. I am seminary trained. That means I'm a professional skeptic. I have a degree in skepticism. I am a cynic at times. I need to make sure everything is just so-so. I'm a conservative. I'm an evangelical. I don't even mind the word fundamentalist. If you know what it means, most people don't know what it means, but I know what it means. I believe the Bible is "Thus saith the Lord." And I'm comfortable with those terms. But let me just simply say to you, please hear my heart. It's one thing to preach these matters. It's another thing to live them. And I could not pray for my family until I was willing to let God do a work in my life. I shared that with you. Let me share another chapter of it. About a month ago, the Lord says, "I want you to come before Me." And He said, "I want you to write down everybody you've been critical of in your life." Who? By the way, that list continues to grow. I've been critical. He told me to make a list of everyone in which I had judged. Because, Matthew 7, you will be judged by the same judgment you give out. So I was in bondage because of all this junk I had been carrying around. I'm not saying that these folks didn't do the wrong thing. I'm not the judge. Let me say something else to you about bitterness. It freezes people in time. When you hold bitterness against somebody, you freeze them in time. You never forget that moment where they hurt you. And you leave them there. And you go on, and the Lord does a work in your life, and you're not willing to allow them the same grace for the Lord to do a work in their life. It's a dangerous thing. Well, the Lord told me, I read the Scriptures, "Bless those who spitefully use you." We've been used. I could make a list of that, but I had to before the Lord. I'm not going into all that stuff with you, but I've been used. Okay? And I wrote it down, and here's the remedy. You ready? "Lord, forgive me for hanging on to this stuff. You took care of it at Calvary, and I give it to You. Your blood is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. You can handle this. I can't." And then, that same person that you've been so critical of, "Lord, would You bless them? I pray for all of the works of your hands that it might bring forth great fruit to the cause of Christ. And that broke that junk out of my life. Or you can hang on to it and die. It's up to you. Bitterness is a dangerous, dangerous matter. All right. Let's talk about the damnation of the devil, spiritual curses. We won't get through all of this. I want to mention, as we close, the warning concerning sex outside of marriage. Nahum 3, 4 through 6, all because of the many harlotries of the harlot, the charming one, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations by her harlotries and families by her sorceries. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts. I will lift your skirts over your face and show the nations your nakedness and to the kingdoms your disgrace. I will throw filth on you and make you vile and set you up as a gazing stock, as a spectacle. Also, in Exodus 22, 16 through 18, if a man seduces a virgin who is not engaged and lies with her, he must pay a dowry for her to be his wife. If her father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the dowry for virgins. You shall not allow a witch to live. Do you see how the Bible likens this sexual immorality outside of marriage to witchcraft? You even find it in Revelation 21:8 in the New Testament, where the roll call of hell is mentioned. The abominable, the sorcerers, the whoremongers, they're mentioned right together. Here you have those who will not get to heaven. And of course, 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 16. In the New Testament, we find the clear warning concerning the eternal consequences, the supernatural consequences of having sex outside of marriage. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall then I take away the members of Christ and make them a member of a harlot? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one flesh with her? For he says the two shall be one flesh. Sex is not merely a physical act. We live in a sex-crazed world. It is a spiritual act. And it is intended to be holy. Who can make it holy? You and me? No. It's the Holy Spirit that makes it holy. He is a part of the union. He's the one that makes it holy and righteous. The Bible tells us that he shall be holden with the cords of his sin, Proverbs 5:22. It's amazing how many women will continually go back to a man who abuses her. Why? Soul ties. They are connected in the spirit world. And I want to say this, and I want you to listen carefully. Everyone with which you have had sex, you are tied to them spiritually, unless you have taken it to Calvary and asked the Lord to break those through His blood. I believe that's why our generation is in such bondage. It was our generation with the free love, free sex, all of that stuff that we ushered into the time of rebellion. And in so doing, we are carrying all kinds of spiritual junk. The good news is Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to set the captives free. So you don't have to continue to hang on to that stuff. But you got to take it to Calvary. Forgetting about it will not erase it. Marrying your concubine is not the way you cleanse sin. We thought if we just get married, it'll fix it. No. There's only one remedy for sin, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus. You have to take it to Calvary. It is a sin against God. And the good news is, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, every one of us knows folks who need to be here, don't you? My prayer for this study is that it will help you connect the dots through the study of God's Word. That's my prayer and hope. I want to tell you something, and I'm not being cute. It's not important to me what you think of me. Used to be very important to me what you thought of me. That was very important. But when you see the power of God and the presence of God come and snatch those who are captive and lift them into light, it's so little about us. It's about Him. And the more you study about the schemes of the enemy, the more you will learn about the Lord Jesus. This is not about the devil or demons, even though we'll study that. It's about our wonderful Master, who is Lord of all. There's one Lord, folks. Not two, not three, not five. All the others are imposters and liars. There is one Lord, and His name is the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for the privilege that we've had to study the things of heaven. Lord, I just pray that You would not allow the enemy to snatch away that which You have sown in our hearts. Lord, we all got stuff that does not honor You. We've all believed the lies of the enemy instead of Your Word. So, Lord, I just pray that You would take this study, You would take Your Word, that a word here, an illustration here, a passage here, a thought here, whatever it is, the workbook, the book, whatever it takes, Lord, help us seek Your heart, Your truth in these matters, these eternal matters. We love You, Lord Jesus. We praise and bless Your holy name. And Lord, I pray for everyone in this room. I ask that You would protect them this week. From the north, the south, the east, and from the west, from above and beneath. Lord, I ask that You would put all of them in the circle of Your blood. There's no greater power than Your blood, Lord Jesus. And I pray through this, You would give us the freedom that is our birthright because of the Lord Jesus. Those of us who know Jesus as Savior, Lord, it's our right to be free. And Lord, as You bring us into freedom, help us to know how to pray for others, that Christ would be exalted above all. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Rob. We'll pick up the next part of this topic next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll be able to find all the books on this topic. Hear today's broadcast again. Sign up to receive a weekly podcast. Find out about upcoming crusades in your area with Rob Randall. Even schedule a crusade with Rob, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. We also have a toll-free number where you can call us so we can talk to you, pray for you, and encourage you. The number is 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. And now, here's Rob with some closing words for us today.
This is Rob Randall. Thank you so much for your listening today. We're deeply honored to be able to bring this teaching to you. We pray that the Holy Spirit of Almighty God would not only teach us, but apply His truth into those areas where all of us need healing. This is about all of our journey. And so we're grateful. We pray that you will find hope and encouragement in the journey. Let us know how we can pray for you. Visit us at theinvisiblewar.org. There'll be plenty of opportunities there on the website where you can email us and let us know of your concerns. Let us know of your questions. Let us know how we can minister to you. Let me also say to you, we have a toll-free number. It's 877-808-8886. That's 877-808-8886. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you today, and remember, it was for freedom He came to set us free. Do not settle for anything less than freedom in Jesus.